at the founding of our country, we had a meeting place, an old elm tree in Boston. This tree was how ideas was formed, expressed, and exchanged. Today, ideas like those expressed then is considered dangerous and traitorous, when in turn it should be embraced as our founding ideas. From this tree birthed a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, as President Lincoln said. That same spirit is what inspired me, this show, and the Liberty Tree Society. Welcome into the Liberty Tree Society program. I'm your host, Phil Arlinghouse, and today we're going to do something a little different. It's my interview with a good friend of mine. I've had him on the show briefly before, but now we're going to have him on for a longer time and actually discuss his newest book that's come out. Is it out? I'm not sure.
So it is out. It is available.
All right, we'll get into all that stuff as well. I should have asked that before I turned on. But, you know, the joys of live recorded, live rated radio.
You get what you get, don't you, America?
Uh-huh. And so my guest is Dr. Tim Holder. He's a professor, and I'm just going to say jack of all trades, because if you listen to his show, he has a show on our sister station. I list out the things he is, so you can go back and listen there for that. Which, so if you're on my show, then flip over to his show on Joy 620 from here and listen to him more there. But I'm going to let him explain a little bit more of who he is, what he does, any of interesting background stories he'd like to share in this. We have a love of history together and presidents, and full disclosure, I produce his show on the other station, Joy 620, and so he can go into more detail of that stuff.
Well, thank you for having me on, Phil. So, yeah, I wear a lot of hats. My background is as a history professor, and I was a full-time professor at Walter State Community College based in Morristown, and I became a dean of the division there, and I really loved what I was doing, but I wanted to be able to do some other things. Like, I wanted to go out and do some public speaking. I wanted more time for ministry work because I do a lot of pulpit supply preaching. My wife is an actress and producer, and so sometimes I act with her in commercials. And so I've been able to do a lot of things, and I'm an author, and that's why I'm on here today, is to talk about a book that I have written called Feeling the Squeeze, and it's about how we handle adversity. So I think I got most of those things there. I still teach part-time at Walter State, and I teach part-time for Liberty University, but those are all online classes, and so that allows me the flexibility to go and speak and be involved in these other things. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. I always enjoy talking to you in between your show or just seeing you around, because you come in every once in a while and do something here. But I was really excited when I heard you wrote a new book, and we talked a little bit about that last time I was working with your show and trying to get you on for another program we have. And, you know, I love reading, so I really want to pick up some of your books. And I mentioned before that I recommend them even though I haven't read them, just because I know the type of person that Tim is, and really am. I would recommend that. I'd recommend this one, even though I definitely haven't read this, but he sent me his little press kit, which is nice, but there's no copy of the book with it, so I'm going to have to go out and buy it now. I'm like, should at least gave his producer a free copy.
Doing what I can to generate sales. It's a cutthroat business, Phil.
It is. I get it. But I definitely want to pick up this and a couple other of his books. He's got different ones, some children's books and some history books, and I don't think all of your books are still in publish anymore. You've got some that have been...
Yeah, some of them, you know, books that's part of the business, you know, they're in print for a while. Sometimes they go out of print, and so, yeah. But I've got several that are still in print floating around, several that are available through Amazon.com. If you type in Timothy D. Holder, they'll come up pretty quickly.
Yeah, and so I actually want to get your kids' book because of my daughter, and because I try and read to her My wife reads more to her just because I have to go to bed so early to get up so early.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife's like, oh, you know, Lorelai, 3 years old, stay up all night with her watching TikTok and other things. But, no, I'm always on the lookout for good books, especially good history books in kids' form. So it's definitely on my list to buy.
Well, it was a fun one to work on. It's called Washington Was a Dancer, Lincoln Was a Wrestler. And so it's got stories and trivia, and it's even got some games in there for kids. And so it was fun to work on because there's just so much weird stuff about the presidents. Like, you know, years ago, I could not have told you that Washington was quite the accomplished dancer. And I didn't know that Abraham Lincoln was in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. And was only lost one match in 300, as far as we know. So, you know, there's some crazy stuff going on about these presidents. So it's a lot of fun to work on.
And I didn't know that Abraham Lincoln was a vampire hunter.
Well, you know, don't believe everything Hollywood tells you.
No, but I've told people that I read a lot of things and even fictional works about our presidents in that case. But, it's amazing to sit here and talk to someone who's accomplished many writings and a history professor like Tim here, because I'm a history guy, and so I think it's always good to be challenged in some more polished forms instead of my novice views of history. So,
well, and it's a funny thing, Phil, because I was reading not too long ago that fewer and fewer people are going into history as a major because there's such a negative slant on a lot of the history that's taught, and who wants to be miserable all day? And so it's unfortunate because our nation's history is not perfect, but it is extraordinary in a lot of ways. A lot of great people did a lot of great things. And again, you know, we weren't perfect. We never were. We always had our flaws. But America's history has been pretty special. And God has moved through a lot of people and done a lot of good things. And so it's unfortunate that a lot of people today don't see that and haven't heard that.
Yeah, it very much is unfortunate. And it's something that with this show and relationships with you and other people that I have, that really is trying to show that history is great and it's fun and we should know it in order to better ourselves and better our own future.
Well, and I think one of the benefits of studying history is it can help us to appreciate the present and, you know, the sacrifices that people made and how hard they had it for the opportunities and freedoms that we have today. It's easy to be negative when our lives feel less than perfect, but we are extremely fortunate. For all of America's flaws in 2023, we are extremely fortunate to live in this time and place. So, and I think studying history can help you have that perspective.
Yeah. So, we're coming close to the end of this segment, and they're going to get into more about the actual book in the next segment. But what was the main motivating factor to write this book?
You're talking about Feeling the Squeeze, the book about adversity? Okay, so, you know, I've got an inspiring story to tell about, you know, the value of a book about adversity, but the reality is I was going to write something totally different, and I went to a Christian writers conference and talked to a guy who worked for a publisher, and he was like, man, your idea is terrible. That will never sell. And so what you want to be able to say is, I didn't listen to that guy. I followed my dream, and I wrote my book, and it's a bestseller. But instead I thought, you know, he might know a little bit more about the industry than I do, so maybe I should heed his advice and write something different. And so I wound up with this book on adversity. And so I could talk more about the point of the book and the value of it, but really that's where it came from. It was my plan B for the next book I was going to write.
Well, you know, you can always go back and write it just for the fun of it.
I could, and send that guy a free copy.
And send him a free copy.
Yeah.
And go, look, this is on the New York Times bestseller list now. You missed out. No, but that's very interesting that he would tell that to you, an accomplished writer and yourself and a history professor, And he's like, that's a terrible idea.
Well, it was going to be a dual biography. So it's a biography about two people stuck together. And it was a preacher that most people have never heard of and a president. And his attitude was, there's not going to be much general interest in a book like that. So, okay, buddy.
Okay, so then let's go on the other side of the spectrum to adversity.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's something that we all face, and we'll get more into that and what this book entails and some more stories like that when we get back here on this break. You're listening to the Liberty Tree Society program here on Talk Radio 92.3 and AM 760. Welcome back here to the Liberty Tree Society program. I'm your host, Phil Arlinghouse, and my guest here is Dr. Tim Holder. He's a history professor, author, preacher, radio host of The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder over on our sister station. So when you get done with my show, you can stick around for Danny Lipford and Today's Homeowner, or you can flip over and hear more from Tim and some of his interviews with some of his great guests. He's got a variety of guests that come on, but today he's on my show to promote his new book that's come out called Feeling the Squeeze, and about how to deal with adversity and some of the topics surrounding that. And I guess it's Feeling the Squeeze, Success Through Adversity.
Yep.
So, you know, We're going to start here with a basic question, because sometimes I may not know everything. Can you just define adversity?
Well, really, it's a word for any difficulty that we might encounter. So it might be something inconvenient, like there's traffic on your way home from work and you're just kind of frustrated because it's been a long day. Or it could be something like you own a business and the market has just changed radically. Or, you know, maybe you've got a factory and COVID has hit and the government is saying that your workers shouldn't be coming into work. And so, or it could be some kind of difficult personal relationship change that is really dramatic in nature. So adversity, you know, we want to avoid it. Most of us don't thrive on drama, though let's be honest, we all know some people who do. But for most of us, we don't relish drama. And yet we're going to have some difficulty. We're going to have some adversity. So I wrote this book on dealing with that. What do we do when adversity hits?
So I guess you could describe you getting told that your was a terrible idea as a part of an adversity.
You know, that's actually a great example of what I'm talking about. And I don't mention that in the book, but so what did I do with this knowledge that a guy who knew more about the industry than I did, and I think I was telling Phil during the break, or maybe I told him on the air, I don't remember, that my idea for a book was to write about a president and a preacher that most people today wouldn't know much about. And so it was going to be a dual biography. And the guy who worked for the publishing company said, that's not going to work. No one's going to buy that book. There's not going to be a market for it. And so how do I handle that kind of adversity? I could have felt sorry for myself. I could have gotten mad at the guy. But I decided that, well, he knows more about the industry than I do, so maybe he's right. So what should I do instead? And I'd been doing some public speaking, and my most popular talk was going around and talking at Rotary clubs and Kiwanis and places like that, churches and schools, about how early presidents handled adversity and what we could learn from them. And I thought, you know, maybe there's a book in this. And so I thought it really needs to be more than a book about presidents, because not everybody is interested in reading about presidents, but everybody deals with adversity. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book about how to handle adversity. And I'm going to include some fun stories about presidents, but the book needs to be more than that. And so I ended up interviewing some psychologists and getting their insights, and then just looking at my experience as a guy who's lived through some stuff, but also as a leader of organizations and other leaders that I've encountered and how they have handled adversity. And so I've got some positive lessons in handling adversity and some negative stories about, you know, people who handle it poorly and some of our negative tendencies when faced with adversity. But there you go. Yeah, so I took my adversity, which was my idea for a book being crushed, and I decided to do something with that. So.
Well, if it's worth anything, I would be fascinated by that book.
Well, thank you. I really thought it was a good idea.
I still think it's a good idea, but, you know, I'm not, you know, a successful book publisher, so what do I know?
Well, there's that. So what do we do? I don't know. Maybe that book will still get written at some point down the road, but here we are with a book on adversity to show for our troubles. So,
Well, you know, at least you didn't feel sorry for yourself, and you took that and turned it into a new idea for a book. So it's always important to, when you have to reset, I think, to... How am I going to reset? Am I going to reset back to square one and have nothing and don't do anything? Or am I going to reset and push forward and have that? And I kind of see that probably is a big point of this book.
Yeah, it really is. One thing that happens when we're hit by a serious adversity is oftentimes it will cause us to reevaluate our vision. And that can look like a lot of different things. Maybe in my career, I think I'm really great at my job, and then I get laid off. And now I've got to reevaluate my vision of myself as a worker. Maybe I just got downsized and crunched in the numbers and it was no one's fault. Or maybe I needed to hit a higher level as a worker. And now I know that and I can commit to that. So, oftentimes adversity causes us to reevaluate our view of things. And that's not bad.
No, when I hit a wall here, you know, I'm operations manager here at the radio stations, and I do my own show and produce multiple shows as I produce Tim's show or some of the other ones on the stations. And when I have adversity, and sometimes it's an equipment breaking, or, you know, I forgot to put in someone's show. Like, I've never done that with even with Tim's show.
Let's not open that can of worms.
You know, I always have to do what I can to overcome that. And sometimes it's a quick decision and can get it done quickly to replace something, or it's a process that we have to overcome by some rubber bands and duct tape until a piece of equipment comes in. But it's how do we learn from that and move on and grow from it, I think, is the important things, instead of just go, woe is me. And, you know, I'm still fairly young and still learning that in my life as a parent or as a husband or as a worker. Instead of just being... You know, let's get down on myself and move on, because I think that's a tactic that in a lot of ways my generation takes, that when we don't succeed, then obviously we're not meant to do something, because my generation's very much been like, promise we can do anything and be anything. And when that doesn't happen, I'm not the next Rush Limbaugh. And not that I'm necessarily striving to be, but I have a show and I want it to be successful. And I wouldn't complain if I was as successful as Rush Limbaugh on radio, but you know what? Am I just going to give up and go, oh, I just have a couple episodes and move on? Or what am I going to fight through that, or fight with other things on to move on?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the year 2023, a lot of things come to us very easily. And one of the downsides of that is we really don't develop that grit. And so when something doesn't come to us easily, when something isn't just handed to us, it's easy to say, well, I guess this just isn't meant to be. I guess this door is just closed, and we throw our hands up. But yeah, having that grit to say, okay, I failed today, but what could I do differently that might help me succeed tomorrow? Yeah, I think that's something that we might be a little lacking in these days.
Yeah, I've talked on other shows about our values and what that can what that looks like and how we've forgotten as a culture the American values. And one of those, I think, is hard work and perseverance in those trying times, and to help overcome adversity in this case. And, you know, I'm always on the lookout for new learning opportunities. And so what can I do? And I'm a big reader, and I'm a big listener to audio files and stuff. So when I am presented things from someone who has done that with, like Tim here, with a book or a show on leadership, it challenges me, what can I add to my life? Mm. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't want to do. They want to listen and get an easy fix. And a lot of times, especially in a leadership role, to be a better leader, it's not an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work hard at it and actually really sit down and face the music and go, I'm being challenged in a way that I have to push through and really overcome this. And, you know, I'm appreciative for your show and hearing that from not just you, but your guest. And now I get to have something in a written form that I can go back mm-hmm. to and refer to later on down the road, or whether I'm producing your show still, or I'm called to other places, or you're called to other places, or whatever. We have something written there that can help make a effort to overcome that adversity, and something I can point to other people in my generation, or not in my generation, but in other circles that I have of influence in.
Yeah, you talked about values, and one of the challenges we all face when we experience adversity is some people want to compromise on those values. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in a business situation and you're really in a tight financial squeeze, and you end up doing something unethical financially because you're in a bind. And so, you know, that temptation to compromise those core values when we face adversity, it's strong. But one of my favorite pieces of advice is to remember the first rule of holes. The first rule of holes is, when you're in one, stop digging. But, you know, it's easy to say, but it's hard to live that when you're facing the adversity. And you also see that when someone faces the adversity of just being under a lot of stress and pressure, sometimes they make bad personal choices. Like, they start drinking, or they start drinking too much, or they have an affair because they feel like they deserve some kind of pleasure because they're under so much pressure. And they do something that feels good in the short term that might cause greater problems for them. And so we need to be especially careful about holding on to our core values when we experience adversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we see adversity comes, because sometimes I don't think we're completely blindsided with adversity.
We shouldn't be.
Especially if you're in a leadership position, you need to be aware that adversity is going to come knocking at some point. And it may not be right now, it may not be next week, but at some point it's going to come knocking. And big example here recently was the COVID pandemic,
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't have necessarily been completely blindsided from it in some ways, because we should always be prepared for something to come knocking like that. Even though a pandemic like COVID is not necessarily something you can truly plan for because of the nature of what it is, but that we should have plans. How can we go, like, remote with working, or how can we still continue our business without losing everything, which unfortunately a lot of people did lose business, especially if they were small businesses. And so there's financial adversity there. There's business adversity mm-hmm. there. But we can always learn from any adversity, even from other people, because I like listening to other people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason I like history, is because I can learn from their mistakes or their issues and adversity. So I can see, okay, if something similar comes up, this person handled it this way, or this mm-hmm. person handled it that way, whether it's good or bad, and then I know I can do it differently and overcome it, or handle it fairly much the same way.
And you reminded me of something that Dave Ramsey said many years ago. He talked about how it's important for people to save money because unexpected finances, you know, unexpected expenses come up. And he said, you need to be able to anticipate that those things are going to happen. And the obvious pushback is, well, how can you expect something if it's unexpected? And his point was, you don't know what the unexpected expense will be. But you know, at some point in the next year, you're going to have to pay for something that you didn't foresee. I mean, that's just the nature of life. The car is going to break down. Somebody's going to get sick. Whatever. There's going to be an unexpected expense of some kind that comes up. So be preparing now. So to your point, Phil, yeah, there are things that come up unexpectedly, but that's not excuse for us to be ill-prepared. Mm-hmm. Really, that's leadership. And that's the cool thing about my show that you've referenced a few times is I have these different leaders on there talking about leadership. And so it's cool for me to listen to their expertise and insight and wisdom. And that's a trait of leadership, is being able to understand that the unexpected is going to happen. And so we can't be perfectly prepared for everything, but we can try to be ready for what might come.
Yep. And just like being prepared, here's a break coming up that we, you know,
gotta be prepared for that.
So you've been listening to the, I almost said the leading edge with
that?
Tim Holder. You're listening to the Liberty Tree Society program with Phil Arlinghouse and my guest, host of the Leading Edge with Tim Holder. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back here on the Liberty Tree Society program with me, Phil, and our guest today is Dr. Tim Holder. You know, if you miss any of this, you can go back. We're talking about his newest book, Filling the Squeeze, Success Through Adversity, and just picking up on some of the topics from adversity and how that can propel us to overcome it and be better and grow and just a little bit of just personal stories with that, and part of the adversity of him writing this book instead of another book. And so I want him to share an example either from the book or one that didn't make the cut that he was considering. And so, you know, just to give us a little bit of an insight into that book. And
okay, thank you.
Writing process.
Right. Okay, so I've really enjoyed working on the book, because what it basically does is it talks about how do we handle it when adversity hits, and what does that process look like, and how do we get to the other side, and what are healthy ways to handle adversity. And then I give examples of unhealthy things that we sometimes do when faced with adversity and how that just makes it worse. And the book features the insights of three psychologists that I talked to. And it also has, as examples, a lot of stories about presidents and things that they faced and some other historical examples. But one of the stories in the book is about three presidents who were pretty close friends: Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe. These guys, they were all three Virginians. If you were to go and visit their homes today in Virginia, Madison, his home is about a 40-minute car drive to Jefferson's front door. And Jefferson and James Monroe were actually neighbors. They lived on neighboring properties. And so their homes were about 2 miles from front door to front door. So when Jefferson was president, his Secretary of State was James Madison, and their ambassador to France was their good friend James Monroe. And so they had Monroe over there trying to negotiate something, and the negotiations didn't work out. And Madison, as Secretary of State, explained to the American public, you know, well, this is what we wanted, this is what we got. And when the reports got back to Monroe, he got really fired up. He felt like he was being thrown under the bus for the failure in the negotiations to achieve all that they wanted. And so he wanted to be mad at both men, but Jefferson was kind of his hero. And so he didn't really focus his anger on Jefferson, but he did take it out on Madison, which was pretty unfair. But the good thing was that Monroe, when he came back to America, it was communicated how mad he was, and the three guys were able to just talk things through, and Monroe was able to realize they weren't trying to burn him at all. It was just a misunderstanding. And a lot of times in life, there's a little bit of adversity, or maybe there doesn't even need to be adversity at all, but there will be a breakdown in communication, and it will lead to really hard feelings. And instead of people talking directly to each other and working their issue out, they either just stew over it or they talk to other people. And then the other people hear and they feel like they need to take sides, and a little thing becomes a big thing and it's a big mess. But the reality is we can work past a lot of adversity if we will just keep talking. And you can say almost anything to almost anybody if you say it kindly enough. So there's a story with kind of a happy ending. These guys were able to work it out and become friends again.
Well, I think that's important, that we need to take time to work things out and actually have that discussion. I know here I'm going to modernize it a little bit.
Okay.
Because of my generation and like texting. My wife will text me sometimes and I don't get the tone of the text.
Yeah.
Or she might text me in, because sometimes she can, since she has an iPhone and she has a MacBook computer, she can do the iMessage on the thing. So she'll be like typing in caps for work and then text me in all caps. And I think she's yelling at me. And, you know, and then I'm like, why are you yelling at me? She's like, sorry, I had to, for a particular document or something, she had to do it in all caps. And it's, you know, so, and I could see, you know, we have little misunderstandings given just some of the technology we have. I could see very much, you know, someone writing Monroe a letter over from here saying, hey, these guys are saying this about this stuff, and he just take it the wrong way because he's not there hearing them.
Right. And wow. And in our world today, via text, you can communicate immediately. But if you're James Monroe over there in Europe, it can be weeks and months before you even can possibly try to work it out. So yeah. What a mess. But yeah, I could see where for you, Phil, that, hey, get the milk could suddenly take on a tone if that comes in all caps.
If it comes in
I'm
all caps.
Sorry, I emptied the milk and didn't refill it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely see some of that. And sometimes we can joke about, you know, she writing get the milk in all caps. And, you know, it's like, don't yell at me. But, you know, it sometimes you actually are having a serious conversation. It comes out in all caps. And that,
yeah,
you know, that definitely is something you have to be careful about. And I could definitely see Monroe taking that where it's been, you know, 2 weeks from something that was said over here to get in the back to a letter to him. And then he's thinking about it and having to mail back something over here. And then so they might be thinking, oh, well, I didn't really say anything wrong, but now it's been a month for a response from Monroe, and then it's like, oh, something's up now, and all.
Yeah, and James Madison was a nice guy. When James Monroe had the opportunity to go overseas and be an ambassador, he was going to get a paycheck for that, but it wasn't going to be enough to cover all of his expenses. And so to raise some capital for him and his wife, he took the family silver and sold it to James Madison. So, you know, Madison is not a villain, and he's not a guy who doesn't like Monroe, and it's not his fault that Monroe has put Jefferson on a pedestal and is afraid to be mad at him, but Madison's taken all this heat that he doesn't deserve. And so what's cool is Madison could have said, well, look, I'm your boss, Monroe. You don't have the right to have an attitude towards me. Like it or lump it, I said what I said. Don't be such a baby about it. But instead, Madison was willing to work things out. So, you know, it's a credit to all three men that they were willing to talk things out, even if Monroe was perhaps a little too sensitive on the front end of things.
Yeah, I see that a lot with our founding fathers, that there were issues, but they worked things out for the good of this country. And I think that's something we lack today.
Oh, yeah.
That there's a proper discourse between parties and whatnot. Because now it's just like, oh, they're evil because they're Democrats, or they're evil because they're Republicans, and there's not enough. How do we come together for the common good?
Right. It's an unfortunate system, because if I'm a Republican or a Democrat in office and I want to get reelected, I need a whole lot of money for that campaign. Mm-hmm. And the way I get money in my campaign is by demonizing the other side. And so I don't really have incentive to work for, say, like a bill, a raise of the debt limit that will help us to avoid a government shutdown. I mean, yeah, I don't want to see a government shutdown, but what I really don't want to see is me getting voted out of office next time. So I need my people to be really fired up at how evil the other side is. So the system has evolved into something mm-hmm. that's pretty unfortunate.
And I think Washington warned of that in his farewell speech.
Yes, he did. He was not a fan of the party system. He thought, if we start doing this, if we go down this road, everything will be a contest of winning and losing, and it won't be an issue of what's best for the country. Mm-hmm. It will be a fight between the parties to see who's stronger.
Yep. And we're definitely seeing that now.
Yep.
And we can it's unfortunate to see that, especially with how great our founding fathers were and in devising the experiment that is the American society. And, we come across that adversity and we just forgot how to have proper discourse like they did.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it really is. The founding fathers weren't perfect, but they really were extraordinary. The French Revolution happened a few years after ours. And the French wound up having like 8 different governments, because they would put together a constitution and the people would be mad and there'd be a revolution and people would be getting killed and terrible things were happening. And then they'd try something else and that wouldn't work. And then they'd have another revolution and people would get killed. And, we had the Articles of Confederation. It stunk. And so then we had the Constitutional Convention. And we didn't have a civil war or a revolution over the government. Just on our second try, in a pretty civil manner, we figured out a document that is still serving us today. So we're pretty fortunate to be here, Phil.
Yes, we are. And as a student of history myself, and I know you are, and not so much a student anymore, but a professor, we see that. And it's one of the things that I try and have conversations with people, especially on the other side of the spectrum as I am. And some people might assume that I'm Republican just because I'm on a talk station and tend to have more conservative ideas with my stuff. But I fall back that I'm a constitutionalist, which is, in my opinion, outside of the political system. But when I have conversations with people, we definitely, I don't like to get heated with them because no one wins in that.
That's true.
And so I just try and have a conversation with people and try to hear where they're coming from. And I have some friends who work for Democratic representatives, and we disagree on the specifics on how to get stuff done, but at the end of the day, we have the common ground of we want to help people. But my thing is, we need to empower people to move forward, not just let them stay where they are. And we get into some crazy debates on what that looks like, on whether or not it's just giving money in welfare system or actually trying to help them get further education or something differently. So,
but at least you're having conversations.
Yes, and that's what I try and have. And the further I get up the food chain, the more diverse it gets, where people want to just argue with me. And I think on the lower levels, people are more, because you get disconnected from the populace. Mm-hmm. So some of the people that I interact with in the like field level office would agree with me on a lot of things because they see the community more. But the ones actually in D.C., and it's, I see it on both sides of the aisle too. It's not just one party, but they are more disconnected from us and think that what they do is actually helping us instead of hurting us in some ways.
Yeah, it is interesting that if you just get your information from like the cable news networks, you would think, okay, all Republicans think this and all Democrats think that. But as you talk about being like on the field level, on the ground floor level, as you just talk to regular people, you're going to run into people who lean to the left but have some views in common with people on the right and vice versa. And so, yeah, there are more things that connect us, I think, than we realize if we just get caught like in the media bubble of it. Mm-hmm. But speaking of conversation and discourse, I mean, it almost broke down for us when you called me a student of history. I mean, I wish that I could do like a Darth Vader impersonation and say, now I am the master. Because, you know, I've been studying this history stuff pretty seriously for a while. So, but yeah, really, we're all students of whatever it is we're studying. And hopefully mm-hmm. we'll take the attitude that we are for our whole lives, because none of us have all the answers in whatever discipline we're pursuing. So.
Yeah, even if you gain the title of professor, you're still there's still things you can learn.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, years ago, a professor was walking out of a classroom, and it wasn't anybody at Walter State or Liberty. It was at a different school, and he was saying something about talking to a colleague earlier in the day about, well, how many lies did you teach today? And I didn't know if he meant because he didn't have the information and he was just winging it, or I don't know. But yeah, certainly professors, we don't have all the answers, and sometimes we realize that.
I think Tim's pretty good about realizing that he just tries to teach what he knows and not elaborate necessarily on other things. I know other professors who, I'm the absolute law on this, and if you challenge them, then they get really upset and fail you automatically. Know this from personal experience.
Ouch.
But that's a different story. But you know, it's really good to talk about some of this adversity and some of these stories. And that was a new story even for me about Jefferson and Monroe and Madison. I knew they were friends, but mm-hmm. that particular story was a new one for me. So we'll be back, talk a little bit more and some more highlights on the book and where you can find it and stuff when we come back after this break. This is the Liberty Tree Society program here on Talk Radio 92.3 and AM 760. And we're back here with the Liberty Tree Society program with me, your host, Phil Arlinghouse, and my guest, Dr. Tim Holder. And we've been talking about his new book, Filling the Squeeze, Success Through Adversity, which is available on Amazon. And is that really the only place it's available? Or
It's going to be more widely available. It's still in the process of, there's a wholesaler that the publisher is working through. And that is still being set up. That's how brand spanking new this book is. But it is already available at Amazon.com, or if you have a venue that you're looking for a speaker for and you want someone to come in and speak about adversity, I usually will bring books when I show up to speak someplace. So I'll give you my contact information, TimothyDHolder@gmail.com, if you're looking for a public speaker. And also, if you didn't get that, I'm going to give you Phil's cell phone number. So if you want to have that, if you've got any questions for Phil, you know, if it's late at night and you can't sleep and you want someone to talk to, Phil's available. Let me just give you that number here. Okay, just kidding. Okay. Sorry, Phil. All right, yeah, so Amazon.com, type in Timothy D. Holder, and you'll see Feeling the Squeeze, Success Through Adversity. Earlier in the show, we mentioned my kids' book called Washington Was a Dancer, Lincoln Was a Wrestler. That's a book of stories and trivia and games for kids. So we've talked a lot about presidents this hour, and so if you're interested in maybe a devotional with stories about presidents, I've got a book called Devotions with Presidents.
And how long is that devotional? Is that a yearly devotional?
Oh, I think that there might be like maybe 90 stories in there, okay. Something like that. Yeah, so there's stories about each president, and I go with some more than others because I know people are more interested in like Lincoln and Washington than they are in Millard Fillmore. So,
well, we should be interested in all of them.
They all have value, don't they?
They were presidents, so they all have value in some form or fashion, even if you disagree with them.
That's right. And they're all unique in the universe, like a snowflake or a prison tattoo. You know, they're all special in their own way.
So while he was talking, I'm not going to lie, I put the book in my Amazon cart to purchase.
Oh, that's nice.
So
lead by example, Phil. Thank you.
Make sure I got the right Timothy Holder.
Yeah, there
Lincoln
are others out there.
Lincoln is a dancer, and no, Lincoln is not a
dancer. He is not a dancer.
He might have been a dancer.
He was an awkward dancer. His wife made fun of his dancing. Don't look for it. If it's Lincoln was a dancer, that is not my book.
That's probably not his book.
No.
Wrong Timothy Holder.
That's right. Except no imitation. Washington was a dancer. Lincoln was a wrestler.
Okay. So I found that one, and I put that in the cart, and I put Phil and the Squeeze in the cart.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So that'll be purchased here after the show. And then I'll get a phone call from my wife saying, why'd you purchase more books on it?
Hopefully it won't be in all caps. That's all I'm saying.
That one might be. But anyway, it's a great pleasure to have Tim on today. And that if you want to hear more from him, you can flip over to our sister station, Joy 620 WRJZ. Just flip over there here at 9 a.m. He'll be doing his show, The Leading Edge, with him.
I'll be talking to some leader about being a leader.
Mm-hmm. That's his show, you know, and that's what he does. And, you know, I unfortunately have to listen to every single episode. Mm-hmm. No. No, I enjoy listening to it.
It's a blessing for Phil.
It really is.
I've seen improvements in his character from the start of the show till now. It's been a wonder to behold.
Yeah, so I'm glad to call Tim a friend and a fellow radio person. And
absolutely.
And it's been great to get to know him over the last few months of doing his show. And you can check it out there. It's also, just like this show, his show is also a podcast form on our website. For that particular one is WRJZ.com. For mine, it's TalkRadio923.com. That's a lot of information, but you can find it wherever. So go check it out. We've archived all of his shows on WRJZ.com. So check that out, and then go check out his books on Amazon. So he has a few that's out there. So go check that out. And until next time, this has been the Liberty Tree Society program. Thank you for coming on, Tim.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me, Phil.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
I thank you for gathering around this old tree. New ideas, old ideas, but faithful and patriotic ideas. This is the Liberty Tree Society.